You are listening to Life Heritage Moments with international evangelist and Bible teacher Dr. Keith Augustus Burton. Life Heritage Moments is a production of the Life Heritage Radio Network. Each program is designed to encourage Christians to consider what it really means to be a Christian as it challenges them to transform words into deeds.
Even as we look at this sticky issue of relationships, we've seen several lessons from the life of Jacob as we've watched him wrestling with his brother and wrestling with his mother and his father, and he's even wrestled with God. But this evening, we're going to see as he wrestles with himself. Because when we look at life, the hardest battle any of us has to win is the battle against self. And so this evening, we're going to take a look at Jacob's struggle. Jacob, as we know, was supposed to be special. God had great plans for him. Yet, this one who God had touched before he was even born just kept on making mistakes. He kept on messing up. He caved into care pressure. And we find that he's one who schemed in some devious ways. Jacob, this mighty man of God in training, had caused pain in his home. He had done some serious things against his brethren. The big question that everyone should be asking by now is, can God really use this person? Is it too late for him to shine? Is he really worthy of the blessing that has been placed on him? When I look at Jacob, I see many parallels to his life and the life of the prodigal son. Just like the prodigal son, Jacob has issues with his older brother. Just like the prodigal son, Jacob got the blessing before it was his time. Just like the prodigal son, he leaves home for a distant land as he tries to escape his past. Jacob is a son on the run. So as we pick up from last night, we see in verse 10 of chapter 28 that the writer tells us that Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. Now Beersheba is about 50 miles southwest of Jerusalem, very close to the border of Egypt. Beersheba, as we see from previous chapters, means the well of seven, or the oath of seven. This is the place where Isaac had made a covenant with Abimelech. This was a significant place, for you see, it amounted to a down payment of the promise that God had already given to Abraham. Before this time, Abraham and Isaac had been nomads, wandering from place to place like gypsies. But when he made the oath with Abimelech, he finally had a place to call his home. This was his land. This was the taste of the promise. But of course, since Jacob was the one who both had the birthright and the blessing, the land was one day to go to him. This was Jacob's inheritance. But here we see the son on the run, almost like having a Mercedes-Benz outside your house and not having the keys. He has the possession indeed, but he's forced to move away from that possession. Oh, we know he's going under the guise of marriage. When the neighbors asked his parents where he was, they said, well, he's gone off to get married. But we know the true story. He was running to save his life. His brother Esau wanted to kill him. He was a fugitive. And so he runs from Beersheba to Haran. Understand something. Haran is located in southeast Turkey. It's about 550 miles away from Beersheba. He has no access to any railroad or coaches or airplanes. He has to make this journey on foot. He wants to get as far away from his brother as possible. Now, what's interesting is that the word Haran is actually from the Akkadian term Haranu, which means crossroads. Stay with me now. We see Jacob on a strangely symbolic trek, a trek in which he'll be traveling for almost a month. And when he gets to where he's going, he's still going to be at a crossroads. You see, you need to understand something. There are times when we move away from situations thinking that we're running away from the problem. But until we come to terms with ourselves, until we embrace who we are, we will always be at a crossroads. At some time in our life, we have to make a decision as to whether or not we're going to keep in the same direction or whether we're going to take a turn. So Jacob, he's on his way from Beersheba to Haran, from the oath to the crossroads. And the Bible says in verse 11 that he came to a certain place. We find out later that the place to which he came was a city by the name of Luz. It's about 60 miles from Beersheba, and as we estimate how far people traveled back then, he was probably 3 days away from his home. This was 3 days' journey. Folk traveled about 20 miles a day by foot back then. He's moving fast. And I'm sure as he traveled, he did not even take the time to look over his shoulder. He's too scared to look back. Esau could be pursuing him. His doting mother may have changed her mind. Isaac may have discovered his ruse and is getting him back so he could face justice. He's a son on the run, and he has to get away. So he's running as fast as he can. And there's only one thing that can stop him, as we see in verse 11. He came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. You see, his movement is stopped by darkness. And even as the darkness enveloped his body, Jacob was forced to think. As he looked up at the dark sky, he's forced to think, for you see, he's been living a nighttime life. He's been living a life of secrets. He's been living a life of deception. And when he looks at the darkness and realizes that's the only reason why he's not progressing towards Haran, he notices that when you live life in the night, you immobilize yourself. When you live life in the night, you trap yourself from the options that God has available to you. And even as he contemplated the choices he made in life, he realizes that his choices were taking him further and further away from the blessing and the birthright. As Jacob looked up there, I'm sure the Spirit must have spoke to his heart and let him know, Jacob, you need to stop walking in the darkness. It's time for you to walk in the light. The beautiful light down where the dewdrops of mercy shine bright. Let me tell you something about living in the light, my brothers and sisters. When you live in the light, you don't have to look over your shoulders. When you live in the light, life is less stressful. It's more open. It's more honest. When you live in the light, you can walk with a clear conscience. So Jacob comes to this place. Stopped by darkness, we're told. And then the text goes on, verse 11, and he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his hand. Jacob was so desperate to get away, so anxious to leave, that he obviously had no baggage. If he had a little Tesco bag or something, at least it has some clothes in there, and that could have served for a pillow. But he had no baggage with him, and all he could do was pick up a stone to use as his pillow. The stone, a strange symbol of hardship. A stone symbolizing that this man of God, the man who had been promised a continent, had hit rock bottom. He's heir to a fortune, but yet he's now penniless. He's made bad choices just like the prodigal, and now he's a son on the run. Jacob had made his bed, and you know what the old proverb said: if you make your bed, you got a lion. And as he put his head on that rock stone, I'm sure he was singing the blues like Brother Marley. Cold ground was my bed last night, and rock was my pillow. And the son of the run, as he rested his head on that rock, he tossed and he turned, trying to find a little comfort. Then the Bible says he finally fell to sleep. Then verse 12 says, then he dreamed. Anticipating how this story should turn, one would expect that Jacob the prodigal would have had a nightmare. One would expect that even as he's alone with the hyenas and the scorpions, that he would have had images of his shady past. But this evening, although I'm sure the devil and his angels tried to get into his mind, they were not welcome in this place. For the Spirit of God was in force. And the dream that he had was a dream that came from the throne of God itself. Oh, when I look at this passage, I have to cry out, marvelous grace of our loving Lord. Here's a man at the lowest point in his life. A man who's been a renegade, who's turned his back on God in many ways. A man who probably has a reputation in Beersheba. The people look at him and look at his name and said, that's him.
Thanks for listening to Life Heritage Moments. We invite you to email your comments to radio@lifeheritage.org, or you may call them in at 206-350-5476. Please visit us on the web at www.lifeheritage.org, where you can listen to other programs and view the other services of Life Heritage Ministries. If you wish to partner in this ministry, you may make a secure donation on our webpage, or you can send a check or money order to Life Heritage Ministries, Post Office Box 56, Harvest, Alabama, 35749. Don't forget to tune in again next week, and always remember that a tree is known by its fruit.